Tim? Tim, come in. It's Adam.
Adam.
Oh, God.
I'm here.
Hi, Tim.
You sound to be in great physical pain.
I'm so tired.
I'm so sorry for you. You got to go to the awesomest city in the United States and watch movies all day long.
It's so much stress. I haven't eaten a whole lot. I haven't slept a whole lot.
Yeah.
I've just stood in line and sat on my ass and watched movies.
Yeah, that is tough. They need to make like a Deadliest Jobs episode of what you're doing. Because comparatively, you know, you and King Crab Fisherman.
We are, yeah.
You're of the same breed.
We are. We are. That's what the King Crab Fishermen do in the off season. They attend film festivals.
Because it's the only thing that can compare to the thrill that they have. Yeah,
the adrenaline rush.
The adrenaline.
Danger. Well, I'm back with two more movie reviews.
Okay. I'm ready for them. I am drunk.
Or did you relapse?
I never...
Are you fighting it, or are you just
kind of
going...
Yeah, see, I only relapsed once, and then I just kept with that.
And you're still alone. No one's there to help you.
Yeah, David is nowhere to be seen.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say. I mean, I hope David comes back soon. I hope he hasn't got himself into some kind of crazy adventure or trouble or something.
Yeah. You know him. I mean, he's a curious little fellow.
He is. He's much like Curious George, and you are the man in the yellow hat.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And I am not in that book. I'm in the Bernstein Bears book.
Yeah. You're the Grandpa Bear.
I'm Grandpa Bear. the first movie I want to talk about here is The Spectacular Now. Directed by James Ponsell, who did Smashed.
Okay.
And this movie is about Sutter Keeley, who's played by Miles Teller, who you'll remember as kind of the sidekick from Craig Brewer's Footloose remake.
Oh, yeah. He was great at that.
Yeah, he's great. And he plays Sutter Keeley, a high school senior and quite a charming fellow who is a would-be master of never worrying about anything, including the future. And he's a drunk, Tim.
Really? He's a high school
he's
student?
He's a high school drunk. He has a flask. He's kind of like you, but without as much facial hair. And the movie is kind of how he unexpectedly falls in love and also comes to terms with, you know, what will come next, the uncertainty of the future. And the girl he falls in love with is played by Shailene Woodley.
Love her.
The Descendants, and she's soon to be Mary Jane in the next Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. And she's perfectly cast for that.
She's so good in this movie. They're all so good. And they have this great chemistry together. Also, Brie Larson from Scott Pilgrim and 21 Jump Street. She plays Sutter's like ex-girlfriend. She's great as well. And even Mary Elizabeth Winstead shows up. Never can have enough.
Absolutely not.
M-E-W. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just like gin. You can never have enough.
Gin?
Gin.
The drink.
The drink, yeah, the drink.
Oh, okay. Good. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
The cast also includes Jennifer Jason Leigh, who I almost did not recognize for, I would say, 70% of the movie. Also in this movie, Kyle Chandler, who plays Sutter Keeley's estranged, drunken father.
Hmm.
Kyle Chandler is a good drunk.
Yeah, I kind of felt like he would be.
I don't know if he's pulling from some deep, dark past of his, but he was very convincing.
Hmm.
Complete with untucked shirt and 3-day stubble and overall lack of
self-regard. I'm just pulling from my own personal emotions.
Yeah, actually while I was watching it, I was like, man, this really feels like Tim. And I thought David really felt like Jeff or Jason Lee. But it's kind of like I don't quite know how to accurately categorize it. It kind of feels like John Hughes in a way. It has kind of a Perks of Being a Wallflower aspect to it.
Okay.
It was a big hit at Sundance, and I was glad that it came to South by Southwest so I could check it out. James Ponsell quickly becoming one of my favorite directors. I loved Smashed, and I really liked this movie. It's written by the team who did 500 Days of Summer as well.
Okay, sure.
So you kind of, I think I've given you enough there to kind of imagine what this movie is going to be like.
Mm.
And the performances are great. I think all these kids have huge careers in front of them. Bob Odenkirk shows up.
Oh, Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk quickly becoming... maybe making a dramatic turn here.
He's got the chops for it.
He definitely does. He is awesome. And him and the main character have some great interactions. Mm. And just well written and a great movie overall.
Cool. Is this one, can we look forward to seeing this in theaters? Or are there any distribution plans do you know of?
The movie's being distributed by A24 Films. We've heard a lot about these guys lately through South by Southwest.
Yeah, they were connected with Spring Breakers, didn't you say?
Spring Breakers. I've seen them on quite a few movies. And I think with the success that Smashed found and the buzz that this movie is getting, it won the special jury prize at Sundance. And after now more exposure at South by Southwest, I think it'll definitely get a good release, especially considering that you have these kids in it, and Shailene Woodley is going to very well be kind of the next Emma Stone.
Hmm.
So I think with kind of stars like that, it's going to get a big release, but
cool.
You should definitely check it out.
Yeah. I look forward to that one for sure.
The second movie I saw, Tim, Rob Zombie's The Lords of Salem.
Oh, wow. I'm very excited.
I can tell by the sound of your voice.
I'm just not a Rob Zombie fan.
Are you saying you don't like to dig through the ditches and burn through the witches? Are you saying you never took a ride in the back of my Dracula?
Yeah, I can't.
Girl! That's all I got.
That's all we need, let me tell you.
Okay, so Rob Zombie, his filmography includes House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, Halloween, Halloween 2, and now Lords of Salem, which is a plunge into this hypnotic nightmare realm that Rob Zombie has created, where a character named Heidi, played by Sherry Moon Zombie, could you guess that's his wife?
No, I would never have guessed.
Zombie.
I just thought that she was just also named Zombie.
Yeah. Zombie, a pretty prevalent name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sherry plays a radio station DJ living in Salem, Massachusetts, who receives a strange wooden box containing a vinyl record.
Okay.
Which comes with a note that says, "A gift from the Lords." That's how I imagine it sounds. And Heidi listens to the record, and these bizarre sounds from within the grooves kind of trigger these weird flashbacks of the town's violent past.
Hmm.
And by violent past, of course, we're talking about Salem, Massachusetts, the Salem witch trials.
Yes.
And the character becomes conflicted. She starts seeing things that maybe aren't there. And you begin to wonder if she's going mad or if the quote-unquote Lords of Salem are returning to modern-day Salem to continue their spree of murder and mayhem. Now, I like Rob Zombie. I like House of a Thousand Corpses a lot. I like what he tried to do with Halloween. I think the original content in that movie is good, but halfway through when it becomes a shot-for-shot remake, I lose interest.
Mm.
He definitely has an artistic vision. He has a great love and knowledge for the horror genre. It seems like he has everything he needs to kind of be Tarantino-esque in the subgenre of horror that he likes to play in. Unfortunately, it just does not work in this movie. And, you know, more power to him if he gets to make the movies that he wants to make without anyone being able to tell him different. But Lords of Salem is really just way too weird and bizarre and sometimes downright silly to be taken seriously as a horror film. It's not. It's never threatening. It's not shocking. And it doesn't really succeed on being scary to me. Maybe I'm just desensitized from it.
Well, what is it? Is it just bizarre and gross, or what's?
I couldn't even say. I couldn't even say gross. If it was gross, I may have had a little more interest in it. There's a lot of like what the fuck moments. Like what is going on? And not so many. You know, the audience reaction, there weren't a lot of laughs, there weren't a lot of jumps or screams or scares. There was just a general malaise of, what the fuck is happening in the audience? Because Rob Zombie makes the movie this kind of like hallucinogenic, hypnotic experience, and I just never felt like it paid off in any way. I'm not sure what his deal is, honestly. He's got a lot of skill. It just doesn't seem to translate into the story. And
I mean, is he really concerned with a story, though?
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I feel like Rob Zombie has always been more concerned with an aesthetic than anything else, even in his music.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I guess that's just, it's wearing a little too thin. If that were the case, if this movie was 100% aesthetic and it was done well, then I wouldn't care, you know? But for what it does do, there's just not enough to carry it alone without something more. I mean, Sherry Moon Zombie is fine. She's a fine actress. She doesn't, to me, her character doesn't have a whole lot to do in the movie, even though 90% of the movie is just her kind of standing around talking. And when she does have these visions and there are these kind of nightmarish creatures that show up, just nothing happens.
Do they just hang out and talk and listen to a record or something?
They kind of just show up. In all honesty, I did watch this at midnight. The movie's hypnotic nature may have put me into some sort of trance.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I don't remember much about it.
Yeah.
But compared to other horror movies and midnight movies I've seen this year, like Your Next and Evil Dead, Lords of Salem just did not compare at all. So I still look forward to seeing what else he can do. I just wonder if maybe he should stop writing movies, because this is written and directed by Rob Zombie.
I think he has
good ideas. I think he should definitely come up with outlines and stories and stuff. But I think someone else should maybe step in and actually write these screenplays and, you know, nail down structure and character and all that stuff.
Right.
And let Rob Zombie do what he does best.
Well, he's certainly entrenched in filmmaking. I feel like we're going to see a lot of films from him to come, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's not like he's banking on this making millions and millions of dollars to make another movie. He's just going to make another movie when he wants.
Not at all. And even he came out and introduced the movie before we watched it. And straight up, he said, 50% of you guys are going to love it. 50% of you are going to hate it. He's very aware of this.
Yeah.
He knows his fans. He knows that he can have their support. And if the movie isn't recognized as a success in other avenues by critics and whatnot, then that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So, we'll definitely see more of him. He's too inspired to stop, I think. And there's a lot of shots in the movie that felt like The Shining and stuff like that. Like, it's very clear that he was making homage to a lot of classic horror movies here. So I look forward to seeing what else he can do. I just didn't think this one was that successful.
Gotcha.
Sadly.
Yeah.
When you tell me that there's a vinyl record that brings demons and witches back to life, I'm fucking ready for that.
Yeah, it needs to blow you away.
That sounds awesome. But it didn't. So.
Well, what's next for you? This is the end for you at South by Southwest.
That sounded ominous. This is Tim.
Yeah. It's the end for you. Lords of Salem, and now it's the end.
I've been here for 5 days. I've seen so many movies. I haven't seen Martin at all. He's got to be around here soon. So, yeah, you know, until further notice, I guess I'll just be here in Austin hanging out.
What are you going to do if Martin doesn't show up?
I'll probably become a street performer.
What are you gonna perform? I didn't know that you could do any of that stuff.
Well, I can't, but there's a lot of people on the street that can't do it either.
Oh.
And they're just banging on boxes.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to do that. Or I might get a job as a rickshaw driver. So I have some options.
Okay, all right.
I might start a food truck.
Well, I can honestly say that I hope you do come back.
Yeah, me too.
Because I wouldn't be able to take that you are off the island and I am on the island when you love it, the island, and I hate the island.
What can I say, Tim? It was my destiny.
And with that, I've got to go. I've got a date with the bottle.
Oh, okay. I got a date with some barbacoa tacos.
So, careful about those.
Yeah.
Are you getting them from a reputable source?
No, if you're asking if I bought them in a back alley, then no, I didn't.
Okay. Because barbacoa, they do have a history in Mexico of being what they like to call roadkill.
Oh, God. I got to run.
Welcome back to the concluding chapter of David's Adventure, : The Mystery of the Missing Atom. Last chapter, David had met up with Jay Liotta, owner of Liotta's. As they entered the establishment, robot bears playing bluegrass blasted at them with bullets. Will we finally find out what happened to Adam? Will David's worst fear come true? Or will all of this be irrelevant by the next episode? Find out now.
David's adventure is what lies ahead. He's scared he killed Adam. His friend could be dead.
Why are they shooting at us?
Well, these old robotic bears washed ashore one day. I was in need of a band, but I also needed some security. So I retrofitted them to do both. Now they're my security and my house band.
Great, great. How's that working out?
Well, you know, every once in a while they malfunction.
You can come out now.
You old son of a gun.
Is that the native chief?
Yep, no. Itcha mama.
Itcha na hachichifa.
Hachichachwachicha.
Hachavoki fachacha ka hey.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, no.
What the hell are you guys saying?
He doesn't know Iwakis.
I know what it is, but no, I don't speak it.
Chief here was just telling me that he loves any opportunity to use his karate. Also, he said he'll help me repair these bots later.
Also, I have some recently acquired turtle meat I thought he might be interested in.
That sounds great. Hey, so David, you were going to ask me something, right? What was that?
Oh, right. I almost forgot. You guys know Adam. Well, I may have thrown a voodoo doll of him out a window a couple days ago and caused him to be ripped from the treehouse and flung across the island. Have you guys seen him anywhere? I'm hoping he landed somewhere around here and that he isn't, well, you know, dead.
I saw him. He flew completely over the island, all the way out into the ocean.
Do you think he's okay?
He's dead.
What?
Yeah. If the impact didn't kill him, then the sharks did. And if the sharks did, then he's drowned by now. And if that didn't kill him, then the Kraken did, or Mothra while searching for food or any number of things.
Wow. He's dead. I can't believe it.
All your fault, too.
I mean, it does kind of sound like it. Sorry about that, David. That's a tough break. I know.
I'll have to go back and tell Tim. He's going to be devastated. We'll have to change the whole format of the show. Who's going to host it with me? Tim can't handle that much airtime.
Well, good luck with that, Jay. I'll be back to help fix your security system later.
Hey, that sounds great. Thanks again, Chief. See you later.
So, since when did that guy speak English?
Oh, you mean the Chief? He's American. But you shouldn't worry about that right now. You should get back to Tim and let him know about Adam.
You're right. Sorry about your robots, Jay. Have a good day.
Hey, before you go, would you like a plesiosaurus on a pumpernickel sandwich?
Totally. So good. But I'm still so sad.
This concludes David's adventure, : the mystery of the missing atom. Find out how quickly none of this matters on the next episode of Skull Face Island.
Trials await to find where Adam lay. No time to stop and think and waste the day. No time to stop and think and waste the day.